Hi and welcome to Legends, an action movie podcast. Here we discuss action movies, cult, classic, new, old, original, sequels, reboot, remake and more, for better or worst.
Legends, an action movie podcast is presented to you by Legends Action Figures. Please visit legendsactionfigures.com, your friendly online source for toy and collectibles.
Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
These discussions will be spoiler-filled. Ellen will use an explicit language, so consider yourselves warned. Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Hi, I'm your host Johnny, and today I'm joined by Frank.
Hi guys, this is Frank. How are you?
And for episode 5 of Legends, we're discussing Running Man. As we said before, we may have a little surprise for you from time to time. Here today, a little surprise, we have another co-host in The Beast.
Hello.
So, let's talk a little bit about yourself.
Well,
what brought you to those kind of movies?
Actually, I think it's RoboCop at 5.
Oh, 5?
Yeah, well, maybe 6.
Okay.
And afterwards, well, I always watch movies, and pretty much I kind of went into business with it, opened the cult video store, was okay for a while, and now I'm moving on and enjoying movies on free time.
Which you can check the Facebook fan page, which is Serie B Video Cult. Does it still exist, or we close the fan page?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I haven't gone over there for more than a while.
So, we know each other for like a couple of years, and The Beast is going to be a recurring character with us from time to time, reviewing movies, and more in the, I would say, B-movie kind of an expert there.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, expert, not really, but I know all that.
Yeah, let's say the first thing, nobody here is an expert, we're just doing this for fun, so let's get into tonight's main event. We continue our Arnold Schwarzenegger arc, and we're discussing Running Man.
Yeah, so Running Man came out in 1987, and I guess I'll do the rundown of who's in it and who's playing who, if you want.
Go for it.
So of course we've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, our hero. He's playing Ben Richards, who's a cop in the movie. We have Maria Conchita Alonso. You might remember her from Predator 2. She plays a cop, a colleague of Arnold in there. No, not Arnold.
No, that was Sergeant Murtaugh.
Yeah,
Ben Clover.
Exactly, you got it.
So, yeah, once again, she's sporting a gun with a huge piece on it, just to make it a little...
Yeah, she's got this machine gun with the scope on it. It doesn't come till the end of the movie, though.
So let's continue.
Yeah, yeah. We'll run down the trackers, actually, stalkers, which are the movie's main bad guy. Pretty colorful bad guys. We've got Fireball, who's played by Jim Brown. He used to play in the NFL, and you might remember him from Mars Attack. He played the boxer.
I remember Mars Attack, but I don't think I remember him from Mars Attack.
Well, I sure do. He was like the old Egyptian guy.
Yeah, he was in the casino when he was... he punches an alien in the face at one point. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I need to watch that again at some point.
That's the only movie I could find with him in that I'd recognize, so there you go.
Okay, any other...
Of course, we've got some more recognizable names in here with... well, we got two governors in this movie, actually, future governors with Jesse Ventura in here, who actually plays the moustached Captain Freedom.
Moustache Captain Freedom.
And of course, we've seen him in Predator, and he went on to star, well, not star, but he played in Demolition Man as well.
Oh, yeah, once again, which character? I don't remember him.
I don't have that information right here. Actually, I didn't do all of my homework on it.
Yeah, that's
you guys can Wikipedia it or something.
Yeah, I don't want to open a computer for that. See, if you want to check that, go, guys. Computer is in front of you, or your iPod.
And we've got a bunch of more or less nobodies, I guess. I might be corrected on this, but I didn't know those guys or any of those the movies they made. Irvan Van Light, who plays a quite colorful dynamo.
Oh yeah, Del guy.
Yeah, he sports like this plastic armored suit and glowing mohawk, and he's this just like pig-like fat guy, and he's covered in flashing bells.
Oh yeah,
and he sings opera.
He sings opera with LEDs flashing everywhere. It's wonderful. And he's sneaky.
Yeah, he's sneaky. We get to see him in his tidy whities as well. And he's got this awesome like boxcar car that's pretty ugly.
Yeah. So just a little quick recap of the plot of the movie.
There's more guys in there.
Actually. Oh, are you serious? Go.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I wasn't finished with the nobodies.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, there's Boss actually in there, who actually stars along with Dynamo there. He's Gus Redwish, and he was the barbarian guard in Scorpion King. So quite a talent there.
Big career in front of him there.
Well, he does play a guy with chainsaws on a motorcycle, and I thought that made some pretty cool scenes.
Oh yeah, guy with a chainsaw always impressive.
He could ride a safety gag for motorcycles. I mean, just so cool. Of course, we've got Sub-Zero, our favorite badass goaltender, played by Professor Toru Tanaka. I wasn't able to find what the professor he was, but it said he was a professor. Oh. He's actually the first bad guy to die in the movie.
Maybe he's a hockey professor, but I doubt it.
Again, I didn't find any other interesting movie from him. I got two other people in here that I wrote down that might be of interest. There's Richard Dawson that plays like the TV exec guy who used to host Family Feud.
Nice. That's a show that's been on the air for like quite...
So yeah, he's got that experience hosting shows, and I guess it might show in the movie as well.
Quite a counterpoint between Family Feud and Running Man.
There's a quite an irony there.
The Jerry Springer of Family Feud.
And I've got Mick Fleetwood, actually, that plays Mick, which is the resistance leader, some old AP guy or something.
Oh, so is the distance down?
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay, so quick recap.
Move along.
So we have Arnold Schwarzenegger once again playing Richard, who...
Ben Richards.
Who seems to be in the army. The movie is set in 2017 in a world that just corrupt and controlled by his government, and Arnold is general or colonel, or I'm not sure, giving the order to kill innocent that doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, basically we sent on a recon mission, and there's like this manifestation of unarmed civilians, and he gets asked to shoot the guys. He doesn't shoot the guy, he gets knocked out, they sent him to prison, and
he escaped.
Yeah, they have this great plot to escape. They've got like those head exploding collars that they have to cleverly work out of, and they do escape.
They still manage to get him back. They put him in the game by...
Actually, there's one of the characters that I spoke about, which Maria Conchita Alonso playing Amber Mendez. She Arnold tries to get a hold of his brother, and actually he moved out and he meets that girl there, and she betrays him at the airport. So that's where he gets caught again.
So he gets in the game, go through the game, and there's a happy ending. Quick rundown of the plot.
Well, if you don't want to see the movie, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty quick indeed. You miss all the fun parts.
You're missing, like, yeah, a lot of blood and one-liners and quality Arnold time.
Oh, yeah. There are quite a few one-liners over there. I wrote down a little list.
Why don't we go with, you know, we can go with some characters and you can... You know.
Yeah, that was the plot recap. That's just to show that that's pretty much... Plot-wise, what happened? Now let's go back scene by scene.
It's your basic action movie. What'd you expect? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Once again, it's 1987. So we're still in the same kind of idea as Commando and Predator. The same style, I would say, of movie.
And while we're selling plot points here, I'd like to speak about one thing I noticed is how Arnold and the girl Amber are wearing yellow suits, whereas... the two other competitors with Arnold are wearing red suits and they do get killed.
Yeah, we have the Star Trek shirt code that still works. But at the end, Arnold has a red shirt.
Well, yes, but he's got like this blazer on or something, so it's not the same thing.
A blazer changes everything.
It's
right.
The exception, you know, it confirms the rule.
So let's go back. So Arnold. Ben Richard get captured, goes into the prison, and like we said, they get out, they meet the rebels, which seemed, I would like to say, kind of the Star Wars rebels, but really cheap version.
They're like hobo rebels.
Yeah, like exactly, hobo hippies.
They got like those old school, you know, CRT monitors and black and green screens, and it doesn't sell 2017 at all.
It's not at all. It's really like 80s style all the way, but once again, well, it's an 80s movie, so.
Yeah, I really love how the movie is, you know, it's moved along with this wonderful keyboard music that it's, you know, it just repeats all over the movie, and it's like two tones to it. There's like this drama tone and this like action beat tone, and
yeah, and there's like, well, the everlasting keyboard of the 80s.
Oh yeah, well, I guess they had to cut somewhere.
Indeed.
So speaking about Star Wars, we had the Stormtroopers like Empire people with a baseball cap.
The guards have baseball caps. It's quite funny. You see them running around with like tight pants and everything. They look like, you know, it's those future baseball player guards from hell. You know, they play baseball by day and they're like badass guards at night or something. But I guess that could finally make baseball interesting. Just another reason to drink beer.
In that kind of world, when the best game and first TV show on TV is a killing game, basically.
Well,
maybe it's, baseball it's, with using
it's a killing game, but it's based on the pretense of a second chance where you're supposed to be able to win a fair trial and stuff like that.
But it's a lie. But let's go on a bit with the movie there. So we have those. Beautiful Stormtroopers that we see a bit on the screen. Richard started the fight in the prison, and we missed one of the one-liner that the Beast told us about, if I'm not mistaken, before.
Take it away.
Well, we missed one, and it's one that is in every Arnold movie. It opens quite a lot of movies as well, and it's his first quote in Conan. In the helicopter.
What?
Well, it's pretty much the Arnold struggling sound that is everywhere in all of his movies.
Arnold has a cry.
Yes, he does. Unfortunately, I haven't got any one-liner yet over there, because there's not quite much of a story yet.
But the guy
the
who got,
break.
Yeah, but the guy who got his head exploded didn't get a one-liner?
No, I don't think so. Not on that one. Not yet, his friend.
No, that's true. That was his friend. That was for I would say emotion exposure.
They got that that cheery keyboard sound again, I guess, at that point, that dramatic keyboard.
Oh yeah, just to see that we have emotion over there.
It's like, it's a normal movie, but it's sad too, so you can bring your girlfriend.
Let's be frank, they passed quite a long time in the movie to present you the characters, put you in the idea that he's not that bad, even if he was part of the establishment.
Well, they got this whole setup in the movie, and it lasts about for 40 or 45 minutes until you get to the action beat, but it's a bit slow. You know, it's based on a book from Stephen King, and I thought it showed a lot of, I'd say, the slow pace of those books. They do take a lot of time to, you know, lay it all out and make sure, you know, you've got all your, intertwining plots and events and stuff like that.
Oh, yes. Stephen King takes quite a lot of time to install his sheriff, usually. Lots of sheriff in this book.
Isn't he paid by the page or something like that? Yeah, he gotta write stuff.
Does he even write his own book himself these days? I'm not even sure anymore. So.
I haven't read one of his books in years, actually. So I was probably like 12.
Yeah.
And it wasn't scary back then, so.
No, you're absolutely right. So he tries to get to his brother and he meets the girl, Alonzo.
Yeah, well, her name in the movie is Amber Mendez.
Amber Mendez?
Yeah, she's actually a lot cuter in this movie than Pure Predator 2, so that's something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, she has a better role as well. I find her role is a little bit more interesting, a little bit more.
She's annoying, though.
Oh, yeah.
She's annoying. She's always talking gibberish and everything.
Oh, at some point later in the movie, she just starts speaking Spanish.
She does it all the time.
Yeah, just to bitch around.
I don't know. Anyways, it's more interesting than Predators 2, I give you that.
There you go. So,
Arnold kidnaps her at this point, and
breathe your neck like chicken.
He steals her.
That's true. I didn't get that one. That's right.
Yeah, there's one of his one-liners there. He basically steals her security card and they go to the airport at that point.
Oh yeah, and it just fake the fact that her security card is in her purse and they let her go.
Because he's holding up the line, so. I mean, this guy like this huge security system with pass cards and everything, but if you hold up the line for 30 seconds, they'll let you go.
Yeah, like it will happen now.
I guess the guy's paid minimum wage or something.
Most likely, for sure.
He just doesn't want to take the bullshit.
Indeed. Well, when you get a beefed up guy like Arnold.
I must say, at this point, he is wearing an awesome suit. He's got like this blue Hawaiian shirt, this like white hat and big aviator glasses. He just looked like, I don't know.
It's quite intimidating indeed.
I kept seeing like, you know, the Terminator in the back disguise or something. Like
yeah. Give me your clothes now.
Exactly. It's one of those Whitebeards, Quebecer guys that went to Florida.
Stuff. Indeed.
So she rats on him.
She has as a guard in the airport.
There you go. So she rats on him on the airport, and they get him into a cell.
They drug him up and stuff.
They drug him up and stuff, but we forgot to introduce Killian, which is our main bad guy.
He's the TV exec guy I talked about earlier.
TV exec / TV host.
He's the host, yeah, as well.
So he wants Dean Richards. Dean Richards.
Ben.
He wants Ben Richards because he's got like no one to put on his TV show, Running Man.
So you want him, he's going to get him, make you see that he has connection with the president, stuff like that.
Yeah,
he's an important man.
They weren't supposed to bring a military guy in the show, so he's had to pull some strings to make it happen.
But since they already cover up the first story of the movie and the past, and that he killed all the people that he didn't want to kill, it's a good press for them, actually. Too.
Why not just keep framing him, you know?
There you go, let's keep framing him, let's kill him, and let's go back with our fucking business. So they get in, they pass a couple of tests, and they put this big mouthpiece that locks in his mouth, and they start to inject him crap.
Put in the jaw restraint.
And
they do like injection in his arm and like in his thigh, and they do this weird one between his finger that is very painful.
Indeed, quite painful, but not as painful as the crutch of Arnold, the shot just before all the injections.
Yeah, you get a crutch injection. The other one I would think was like interphalangeal injection.
Yeah, that one is quite cruel, actually.
It's a tongue twister.
Yes, indeed it is.
They throw him in the cell and they gas him out, and he's basically like, Arnold is ready for the show, he's knocked out.
Ready for the show. And in between all those cuts, we have publicity for another show, which is Climbing for Dollars.
Oh, I did! Climbing for Dollars! This is an awesome movie. This is just, you know, like 15 seconds of the movie, and it's just so great. All of the Beast ticket from here.
Yeah, well, actually, it's a little ad of a couple of, well, I guess,
Bulldogs, or
no, most likely Dobermans, actually, I think, running at a man who's like has money strapped everywhere and trying to climb a rope. And well,
the rope has
money on it as well, and he's trying to climb up, escape the dogs, and go through with the money.
But when he's up,
there's I don't know what it is, actually, a
gas.
Smoke machine or something. And it looks like it hurts quite a lot, but I really didn't buy that. But the funny part is he's falling in the bugs.
And people cheers!
I just want to say that at that point, I really had a feeling about this movie. And it really reminded me of the old NES game you guys might know, which is called Smash TV. It's a pretty cool game, actually.
Oh yeah, it's an old Nintendo or Sega game?
It's an arcade game that was ported to the NES. It just plays. It's a TV show in the video game, and you just play this buff red and blue guy.
That
you just go in the room and you shoot everything, and you get like VCRs and toasters and.
And you just go
convertibles.
Oh yeah, it's like cube. It's cell by cell, and depending on the cell that you go, you can have special prize and special things.
So I just get this feeling when you know watching Climb for Money and this old running man gave me that feeling. It's also reminded me of stuff like 1984 from I think it was Wells. It's not an original team, but. I mean, at least it's gruesome.
But it has some of the classic sci-fi thing. You know, obviously the future team, but the crappy future from the 80s where they just take whatever they have and put stuff over it for custom.
Yeah, it's an 80s B-movie action or sci-fi, whatever you have it. It's,
The money was on the Governator.
I'd say we can continue to talk about it, and you can make a decision if it's worth to see or not. We'll give you our score at the end.
At the end, okay.
So where were we at this point?
So we get to the intro of the show.
Yeah, Arnold his arm is locked at this point.
Yeah, he's sporting this kind of mechanic jacket, which
it's a tracksuit,
a tracksuit,
something like that.
Which is black and as is a handcuff. And when you get on the set, they just ripped off the black suit and get this Adidas yellow tracksuit.
His bodysuit.
Yeah, his gaming suit.
And it's like this. It's yellow and gray, and it's got this like pattern on his shoulder. It's
pretty much Olympic style.
Yeah, well, it's very time-wise, and yeah.
Intellectual.
I mean, Arnold makes it look good, obviously.
Oh, for sure, he's quite duffed out, so yeah.
Look at his muscle. Come on. And oh, we got an introduction a little bit like Commando in that one as well. At the start of the movie, when he gets captured in his prison, instead of being introduced with a log, he's introduced with this huge beam.
And another point to note at that moment is, and it's very important, and I'm quite saddened that we didn't talk about it yet, is that at the start of the movie, well, actually just after Arnold gets captured, he is sporting a beard.
Oh yeah.
We've got Beardnold.
Weird, no.
You get Arnold, and you just add this beard. You know, how dangerous is that? You know, what can you do?
He's a bad boy.
You just gotta respect the beard.
Oh yeah, gotta respect the beard. You got the beard at the start of the movie and the cigar at the end of the movie.
Yeah, the usual six inch badass cigar Arnold sports.
Yeah, and just funny fact, we were waiting for the Beast and we watched like a couple of minutes of a thing that's called...
Pumping Iron.
Yeah, and you see like a guy in there, which is an Italian guy.
Who's Franco, I don't remember his first name.
Franco, who's just blowing like a Coke ball.
No, it's one of those hot bottles, you know, when you're sick you can put them on your forehead. A strong man usually blow them up. It's quite impressive, actually.
Anyway, no way those guys want cigars like it's... You know, those big 6-inch cigars, not good for the adult.
I'm pretty sure Arnold, you know, used to enjoy them quite often. It's been suggested that he might have dabbled in marijuana use as well.
Oh yeah, but you know, it's Arnold. It's okay. Maybe.
It's been swept under the rug.
Under the rug.
All the appropriate people have been bought off.
Okay, should I have waited for the call from the lawyer or something like that? So...
I'm just kidding, Arnold.
We like you.
You're innocent.
We love you, Arnold!
We do!
So this is his introduction. Two of his friends that escaped from the prison at the start are with him. They
actually coax Arnold into doing the show because they owe his friend. And they're like, you know, your friend, you know, they suck. If you put them in the show, they'll die. So you get to do the show and you will spare your friends. And, you know, when Arnold is set up to do the show, they reveal that they're sending his friends in there as well. They're actually called Wes and Leyland. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yes, indeed. And when they're introduced again in the TV show, they are in, quite uncomfortably position, actually.
they're like in this tube, you know, sled or something that they send it down this tube. But they're held, you know, upside down, and they're like in this cramped position. And they look like they've been in there for like an half hour. They really look like they're ready to go.
Indeed, they do.
That's some good acting there.
And at that point I wrote on my sheet, because my chicken just arrived, so we took a break. And I wrote on my sheet we were at 40 minutes, and in my point of view, the movie was just like introduced. That was the first act. We got introduced to the world, introduced to the character, and find it a little bit long.
Yeah, as I said before, it's Stephen King, so you get to wait to all set it out. And yeah.
There you go.
But after that point,
you get the power slide.
Isn't it awesome all the way to the end? Let's find out.
Oh, shit. So we get the power slide. It's like a power slide. How do you want to call that thing? It's like a tube.
The awesome slide of Metal Madness.
Metal Madness!
I think the Beast agrees.
So the power slide consists of, they put them in those little buggy, which is like just a metal frame with a seat. And this one.
Metal sled.
A sled. Yeah. Right. And this time Arnold doesn't take the seat off, like in Commando.
Well, he doesn't get a chance to do it, so, you know.
Yeah. And they just drop them down those tubes that rocket them to tunnels for...
Those tunnels are long, man. That shot is long, and we see the three of them go there, and later on the girl as well.
And later on the guy.
There's this shot with a mirror in the tunnel as well that gets repeated a few times as well. They just go down this tunnel, and at the end they get shot into this net with the which just breaks their speed, and afterwards they get out of their sleds and they're greeted with lovely citizens.
Yeah, lovely citizens that just threw in cans of crap, and there's lots of comments about publicity. So there's this cola publicity, which We don't want to say any trademark here.
It's
but
Cradle Cola.
Cradle Cola.
Creedy? No, I don't remember. Cradle Creedy.
Something like that anyway. Sorry.
I think it's Creedy.
Creedy. A lot of those cans are thrown out and they're like pushed by guys on motorcycle and guards through a little path to go into the game. And the first game is Sub-Zero.
Yeah, they get herded in there by motorcycles. You get to this this hockey ring from hell, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah.
And we get the first appearance of one of the stalkers.
Sub-Zero.
Mr. Sub-Zero. Well,
in fact, it's Professor Sub-Zero, if I'm not mistaken.
It's Professor Tori Tanaka, who's this badass goalie hockey player with hockey sticks that chops thing and yeah.
And a lot of studs all over the suit.
So he comes in the rink and he basically just crush checks these three guys and starts to ram them and he throws one in the net and he's pretty menacing at that point, I guess.
Yes, indeed, he did score.
He scored!
I guess he's the only one in all of those stalkers.
Yeah, he, well, I mean,
pretty much.
He doesn't kill any, and I mean, some other do get to kill some of the guys, so.
Yeah, for sure, but.
Yeah, he put one in the net, but.
Exactly my point.
he dies without killing one or hurting them any much, so.
Yeah, I guess.
So, just before the fact that Sub-Zero is there, because he's been chosen by an old lady in the audience, a little bit like. The Price is Right, they go get someone from the audience that choose the stalker that's gonna be there, so.
They get prize depending on how we do, so you see the old giving them like a VCR and the running man home game, stuff like that.
If you want to play at home, kill your brother, let's go.
I guess it's a board game or something like that.
Probably, like, once again, no trademark.
Sub-Zero is skating around the rink and he's chasing Arnold around. One of his buddy is in the net and the other guy is basically useless because he's not Arnold, Ben Richards.
When you're not Arnold, you're meant to die. You have a red shirt.
So Arnold, basically what he does is he lures Sub-Zero around the corner. He grabs some barbed wire and he sets a trap. Basically, Sub-Zero runs the into the barbed wire and it wraps around his head and at that point, you know, Ben Richard just tugs on the line and we got a pretty cool shot at that point, I'd say.
Yes, and one of my first one-liner of the movie when he talks to the camera at the...
Do it!
Thanks very much for the intro. When he's watching the host of the show through the camera and here's Sub-Zero! Now playing Zero! Thank you, Arnold.
As we see Sub-Zero on the ice and there's blood spilling. Arnold's not gonna take it. He's gonna fight him all the way.
But the crowd does not go wild.
Well, at that point, I mean, no one's used to see the stalkers die, so everyone is flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted. The crowd goes silent, as we said, and it's like, I don't understand how that game was going before if they never lose Stalker and they always, the victim always lose at the first game, but they fake it probably, but anyway.
Well, at that point in the movie, it goes to an ad in the TV show and Arnold goes with all his friends and just saying, well, he was a pain in the neck.
He was a pain in the neck.
Yeah, he got strangled with barbed wire. So.
Here's
you
the
know,
pain.
Arnold has got a great sight and, you know, he's just reporting how he's how it is.
Oh, yeah, and they always waited the cameras well on him, well center, 80s style once again. So, there's a reference to Gilligan's Island. The guys on the phone are like, of course we lose
some. The TV exec guy, yeah.
The TV exec guy. We lose somebody, but what do you want to do? Put Rerun of Gilligan's Island? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, the guy on the island. Yeah, okay. So that was a weird quote, but anyway.
There's probably some trivia there. You guys Wikipedia it.
Have fun.
do the work we won't.
And a guy needs to choose between new stalkers, and he can't choose between Buzzsaw or LED guy?
Well, it's actually Dynamo, the electric pig, the Mohawk guy from hell, actually.
That shoots the laser.
And he sings opera as well, so, you know, for right the ladies out there, he's pretty talented. He's singing as well, okay, I think.
Yeah, if he just hit the gym, he would be the perfect man.
So they throw him in there, and this special tag team of champion has one special commodity, is that one of them has this motorcycle, and as we said, Dynamo has this kick-ass go-kart.
Go-kart from hell. At the same time, we see Amber. Getting into the station, finding the real footage of what happened to Arnold at the start of the movie, and she gets caught and bring into the game.
Yeah, they bring her in the game, and
once again the power slide shot from another minute.
It's
the same tone as Batman Forever, like 10 years later.
And it's so loud, I just hated that.
Yeah, and. She meets with them pretty fast.
Arnold just finds her on the corner, and he's about to punch her, and she's like, no, don't punch me, I'm like this little girl.
And they just don't want to get in the light, and they decide to get some relays.
They see some antennas out there, and they're like, oh, this is an antenna, and it's like resistance or something, or whatever. This is the pretense of a story behind this movie.
But let's keep in mind that the story is based on the fact that TV controls the world, so if you can't control the signal, nobody can stop the signal.
Yeah, they basically want to, you know, pirate the signal so they can spread out their resistance speech or whatever.
Yeah, so while they decide to go get the uplink, Weiss go with... Amber and Arnold go with the other guy,
Leyland,
and they get attacked by Buzzsaw on his motorcycle.
Yeah, he's on his motorcycle and he's got like two chainsaws strapped to it. And Arnold, I think, hits him with a pole or something and he gets knocked
out. Well, he tried at that point, but it was actually cut by the saw.
So how does he knock him out of the motorcycle? I don't remember.
After a while, there was a little bit of action scene over there, and
they run around.
They went around for a while.
Oh yeah.
And afterwards, he
battle damage.
Just switched his chainsaw for like a whole medieval
a
crap.
Thing, yeah.
And
he drags Arnold around.
Yes. Exactly, and right about a corner, Arnold showed. Just
he
pull
wraps,
the rope,
yeah.
And it wraps the rope around while some junk laying around. And
it throws him off of the motorcycle.
Exactly,
yeah,
that's how.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, when you roll your finger, we don't have actual visual right now.
But I do.
He's like emoting like a madman or something.
Exactly, just...
But we got Buzz on his feet right now and he picks up one chainsaw because I guess it's not very easy to wield two at the time.
Yeah, and it's so funny because it just has them like guns.
He's got them holstered on each hip, yeah.
And they do the old knife trick but with a chainsaw that obviously from shot to shot is not running or is running or there's just water going around it.
Yeah, if you see the movie, just keep your eyes on the chainsaw blade. Sometimes it's not running, sometimes it looks like it was removed from the chainsaw, and it's something to look at.
Yeah, once
if you don't want to see a guy wrestling with a chainsaw, you know, you can just look at the blade.
It's just the quality effect that we had with those movies so far. I think Predator was the best one.
That's what 27 million gets you in 1987, I guess. When you've got to pay for Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura.
I don't know, was there like so much $1 million deal in those days? Because I remember the first $1 million like Sean Connery for Diamonds Are Forever, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know, I mean,
yeah,
I'm just guessing here.
Anyway, money throws around. But the shot of the city at the start is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, it's been well made for the time, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty good
to my taste.
Yeah, it's tasteful, and I mean, it does look like it could look in 2017. So they're fighting at that point, and they're as they obviously were trying to hit him with the chainsaw, and Arnold just grabs his wrist and he throws some knees around, and they tussle, and at what point, Buzzsaw is getting his chainsaw close to our Ben Richards' face, and he spouts some intimidating line, and Arnold just overpowers him, and
Pretty much
takes it from there.
Indeed, he did. Actually, what Buzzsaw was he was talking about his chainsaw and how much he liked it, and well, Arnold once again.
It's a part of him, he said.
Yeah. Well, if you want it, here it is. Or something. I don't have that one written down, but this is one afterwards that is really cool. He chopped him off in half by the crutch.
He takes the chainsaw and he drags it between the legs of Buzzsaw and he just rams it upwards. Of course, it's an off shot. We don't get to see it. We get to see a torso shot with blood spattering upwards into Buzzsaw's face.
We get to hear him squeal as well.
Yeah, obviously he isn't the bass anymore. We do get to see a shot later on, I think, of his ruined crotch.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember that one though.
I think we just see it before it cuts to another scene.
Yeah, it's probably.
Yeah, I think we do see it.
Yeah, we see actually his belt, which was written.
Oh, that's it.
And it's got an ash.
So, everyone knows for sure that, Arnold will go for the nuts.
And then we get the LED guy attack with his car, and he's just running after Arnold for quite a while until he does a kind of a stupid move. I never understood that one.
Isn't he after the girl and the guy at first? Point?
At first, but at some point he's just. After they get Buzzsaw killed, Arnold needs to be the main guy. He gets the power, like, just attack me.
Yeah.
And he follows him, and Arnold starts to climb this pile of crap. And he just decided to go up with his car, up the pile of crap, and of course, the car just...
turns over.
Yeah, just barrels over. And he's like, oh, I'm stuck, cut the camera.
Cut to the commercial, yeah, easy. He's quitting like a pig.
Yeah, and Arnold has a great delivery where he's like, I'm not gonna kill a man that's alone and dying.
Helpless.
Yeah. And he doesn't.
No, and it gets caught on camera. Awesome.
And the people don't like it once again.
But I think at that point we've lost one of the, or two of the good guys were there. Didn't Wes get shot by a dynamo? And I think Leyden was cut down by Buzzsaw.
By Buzzsaw, yes indeed.
So you can scratch them off your list.
The red shirts are over. Well, they're done.
They did what they have to, right now.
Exactly.
It's Arnold's job alone, and he has to get to the resistance. The girl actually picks up the input code for the satellite thing.
From the guy, just before. And just before this whole scene cuts, Arnold goes back to the other guy who's dying, the other red shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where there's another one-liner, and he's like agonizing, oh, where's Buzzsaw? You have to split. That one is pretty cool.
Didn't we add someone like that in Commando? I dropped him off. No, that wasn't the same thing at all.
Oh, he's got so many ones. I mean, that's worth a YouTube, guys. Go check it out.
Our reports
are great.
Oh, yeah, we watched that the other day. It's like 130 Arnold quotes in a row.
Yep, awesome stuff. So they killed Buzzsaw and...
Christmas tree!
He's not dead at that point.
No, he's not dead.
At that point, I think they send in Fireball.
Fireball, which is our football guy.
He's actually our football guy. He's Jim Brown. He's played the boxer in Mars Attack, as I swear, as well. And he actually do say in the movie like that he was a rusher and everything.
His suit is just beautiful. He's got like that chainmail in asbestos amiant.
Shark suit, I think.
Shark suit with a luggage strapped to his back that's supposed to be his rocket pack / fire flamethrower.
Yeah. So this guy is this jetpack and this flamethrower. And what I really liked is like they put him on the stage And he just shoots his flamethrower everywhere over the crowd. It's so awesome.
And the crowd cheers, the guns grew wild.
In 2017, they just don't care about security.
And people start to bet for Arnold.
Yeah, at that point, you know, the tide begins to turn and Arnold is starting his movement. And everyone is climbing on board. And you see where he got his charisma from his political career as well. Anyways, so they send in Fireball after him and...
they chase for a while and they just give him a
fireball. Yeah.
Yes. Oh no, they find another plot point where they find the winners.
The TV show, they were pretending that some guys won at some point and they got off to this tropical island. And Amber at that point finds them, and Fireball drops in on her, and he's like, yeah, they're dead, because we're bad guys, and stuff like that. And
they just seem to have been running there for like a while before dying, and I don't know the...
They were last year's winner, so at least a year, I guess.
Yeah.
And Arnold just drops on Fireball, and he rips off his... gas line, and he throws this flare at him, and Fireball at that point just explodes into a fireball.
Just before he does all that,
do it.
Well, what's going about? How about light?
Yeah, of course. Just before he throws the flare,
and after he's like crispy dead, he goes with the what a hot head.
So you guys, you know. The opening one-liner and closing one-liner.
Yes, exactly. For pretty much of the bad guys over there. I missed a few, but...
Well, I mean, you gotta need some, you know, for people to go watch the movie and enjoy them on their own as well.
Yes, for sure.
And at that point, the TV show is pretty fucked because Arnold is killing everyone.
That part was in the plot of the air. That is where they try to change the plot and trying to make a fake scene.
They photoshop the footage at that point.
Yes.
So Arnold gets to the rebellion, but they don't have footage anymore because they're like off camera. So they take those two person random, photoshop their face on them, and get out of retirement Jesse Ventura, which plays Captain Freedom. And just before that, he just walk in the studio exit with this Transformers suits.
Yeah, they tell him to suit up, and he's wearing like this blue suit, and over it is like this shiny square-looking stuff, and he's got like this triangle over all his left arm. He's just—he
just looks like crossover of GI Joes and Transformers.
He walks and pissed off with his mustache. He's like, "No, I'm not gonna take this. I'm like some badass dude or something." He shakes something off and it just breaks.
This is a mustache of Hatarataya.
Hatarataya mustache.
The bummer.
At that point, the TV guy, Killian, orders the guard to, you know, throw the guy out, and the plot moves on at that point. And
we get Amber, who... The tape she was looking for? She has it. After they stripped her and changed her and everything, and Arnold asks her, where did you hide that?
No, she's not telling. we've actually discussed it, and so where do you guys think she put it? I'd say it was probably in between her butt cheeks.
Well, the suit she was wearing was pretty tight, so... Eesh.
The cartridge that she's hiding is about, you know, 1 inch by 1 inch, and it's about, I'd guess, a quarter of an inch thick. So, I think it fit between her butt cheeks. She'd be able to run with it, no problem.
Really? In that kind of suit? Unnoticed? Well, I'm not quite sure about it. You have to go, like, a little deeper than that.
So where do you suggest you put it?
A little deeper than that.
Be explicit. we got that warning before the show. You can say it.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
We're grown men. And yes. Woman, I guess, maybe.
I don't know. Well, I think she puts it on this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to beat that.
You told me to go explicit next.
Wouldn't actually that be worse for her to run than between her butt cheeks, you know, up there?
For sure. For sure. I don't know. It's just not possible, I think, anyways.
If some ladies are listening, please send us email telling us what we need to do.
So it's legend.podcast@outmail.com.
We want to hear about it.
And we didn't make that up. This is in the movie. We didn't do anything.
And believe me, it's not in the cleavage for sure.
Ah, she. Well, I mean, she's cute, but
it's not in the cleavage.
Yeah.
So where are we? My next note is
Fireball's dead, and they are faking the Captain Freedom fight with Arnold, and they pretend that Arnold and Barbara's dead. And Ben Richards is planning to infiltrate the TV station to overthrow the signal, and they want to kill everyone and stuff like that.
And I think they killed LED guy, but I don't remember how.
It's later on, but from that point, when they're organizing the rebellion and so, it goes, well, a little too fast, and I don't know. Didn't feel right.
Yeah, they just seemed to arrive at the TV station from nowhere. That was weird a bit, I gotta talk. You know, they went in the hell slide for like 10 minutes, so yeah. How did they get back there so quickly? But,
I really
you know,
don't
I
know.
Mean, Arnold has got some awesome Kraken skills or something, I guess.
Yeah, that's for sure. He's Arnold, he knows everything.
Ben Richards. Yeah, so they got guns, and basically Arnold's like,
oh, you got no leaders.
And the Resistance CP guy is like, well, you're like pretty badass. And Arnold's like, yeah, I'm pretty badass, I'll be your leader. And they storm the Death Star at that point. Oh, I mean,
the Death Star.
I mean, the TV station.
They storm the TV station, everybody's flying around, running around, trying not to get killed. A little social commentary again. And this is pretty forward from down there. They just storm the place, get to Killian.
The civilian get out, and Arnold is shooting the baseball guards. And
oh, yeah, those.
he traps Killian at that point, and he's got this pretty little speech with him at that point, I think.
Yes, and meanwhile, there's a chase between Dynamo, the big opera guy, with the
he traps Amber, and he actually overwhelms her, and at that point, he's missing his pants.
Yeah, well, she did call him, like, what was it again?
Stupid
Dickless?
Fucker, Dickless moron.
Yeah, that's
like
it, exactly, and
he
was about to show her some Dickless.
Well. She's got that small machine gun at that point, and while he's on top of her, she just shoots at the water system fire protection thingy.
Sprinklers.
And
they are not waterproof.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy, you know, that gets around in the truck outside the world, I mean, he's not protected from the rain at all.
No, for sure. Careful, man, lights are dangerous.
Yeah, he just gets fried bacon.
Right. And there's no fried joke. No fried joke?
No, well, Arnold's not there at that point, and, you know, Amber is not badass enough to have her own one-liners at that point.
Well, I would have said, did I miss the mishwee?
That would work.
Maybe for a later movie. And
well, that's a cold shower.
That's a cold shower.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
I don't have any more notes. So you're gonna help me there.
Yeah, I'll take it. Basically, Ben Richards, he takes Killian, the TV host guy. He puts him in the rocket metal sled of hell, metal, whatever, or something.
Here goes another power slide for quite a while again.
They get the mirror shot as well. And the funny thing at that point is the protective net that was stopping the metal sled at that point is gone. And
yes.
The rocket sled jumps into a billboard of Killian at that point, and it just
it was an exploded billboard. In the 80s, like, there's not just exploding cars, there's exploding everything. And I really think, like, Michael Bay, I don't know, gets some inspiration from the 80s.
Yeah, it's a metal sled and it's a wooden billboard and it blows up in this huge fireball.
Oh yeah, a little bit like in Commando, those little owls that just explode like they were full of fuel.
So the bad guy is dead and they get to show
the
footage of actually how Arnold is not the bad guy and stuff like that. And the girl gets back at that point and we get this awesome cheesy 80s songs like, "We feel the night,
little kiss and they walk into the sunset."
Yeah, something like that. And we get the generic and have we been on an awesome ride? I've been asking this all night and we'll get an answer pretty soon.
So we're at the end of the movie because before we discuss it further. Do we rate this? We rate this. So our rating system goes like this. You should have been there the first day at theater. You should have seen it in the dollar theater. You should have bought it in DVD Thursday. Bought it in DVD the cheap or don't even bother. So, Mr. The Beast, since it's your first time, what do you think of The Running Man?
Well, I wouldn't say I had to be there on the first of the movie, but at the $1 movie, for sure.
Yeah, I think that would have been a good...
It's not a real good movie, but it takes time to, you know, make things and build up the setup, and well, it was quite okay. It was fun. It was a fun ride.
I think I agree with you guys. I mean, you get to see it like one or two weeks after it's been in the theater, so there's not too many people in the theater, and you get a good experience. Anyways, it's cheap as of now on DVD and Blu-ray, so. You don't get to see it on the theaters anymore, but you get the home experience, and I think it's worth it if you like those sci-fi action, blow stuff up, explosion beats.
So we got a consensus that would have been a dollar theater movie. So yeah,
awesome.
Another win for Arnold.
Another win for Arnold. Hey. Is there quite a drag? Of course, we reviewed three Arnold movies and one comedy, so helps for a strike a bit. So, 4 stars or dollar theater from the guys from Legends. So,
I get a bit more of trivia.
Yeah, more trivia question there.
We've got some possible actor that were considered for lead at this point, and I'll just sound up on them. If you've got something to say, you can go along. So. One of the guys was, of course, at that point, it was Dolph Lundgren that was supposed to be the lead, possibly.
The lead, really?
Yeah, he was supposed to play Adventures, Arnold's role.
Was it new at that time?
It's 87.
Yeah, well, it was the beginning, I guess.
When was Rocky IV? 85?
You got me on that.
84, 85, so yeah. And it was like the other muscle guy, you know, the guy you get for
E-Man. Trying to put him in that place, actually.
Have you seen E-Man?
I have not.
Oh, yeah, I have. This is quite another adventure, actually.
So I guess we all agree that they did good in that they came Dolph Lundgren. Now,
for sure.
I've got two other guys here. One of the other one is Christopher Reeves, so Mr. Superman there.
Well, the suit fits him.
Yeah, I don't agree. Christopher Reeve is like the ultimate good guy. He's the ultimate, you know.
Well,
Teddy Bear, I would say.
He would have gotten framed at that point, but it's a bit. I guess it's a bit too violent for him. It doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't fit. It's out there anyway. 87. We got Superman 4 coming out, which doesn't help his case. I'm assuming.
Well, I didn't say he fits the role, I said the suit fits him.
The spandex is alright.
That's it, he's used to it anyways.
And lastly, we've got, of course, Mr. Patrick Swayze.
Oh, really? Oh, Patrick Swayze, yeah, for sure.
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, that's what I had in mind. That wouldn't have worked at all.
Didn't he die this year?
I'm not sure. Didn't he get like cancer or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Didn't he recover?
No, he didn't.
Oh.
He had the last time of his life, I guess.
Rest in peace, my friend. Rest in peace. So, well, that's all I got for possible leads, and I didn't get much other trivia on this movie.
Yeah, as fun as it is to watch like this, it's not as cult as you would imagine. You don't have that big of a following as like Predator or even Commando.
You don't have it, and I see it more in the veins of a Total Recall. I mean, it's not as good as Total Recall, but it fits. It fits the old genre of sci-fi and that stuff. I mean, it fits in the same universe, I'd say, in the same genre.
I would say it's the cheap sci-fi of the 80s. There was a good sci-fi where they went on their way to make sure that it was not looking like nothing else.
It's $27 million, $87 bucks. I don't know, for that time it probably was a lot, I guess.
Yeah, I know, but still.
They didn't make that much on the movie, I think it was 38 millions, yeah.
Yeah, 38.
So
yeah, it's one of the more, let's publish.
They didn't think about a sequel on this one.
Thank God! But there, if you just look at it from a certain point of view, you could do a sequel, because the story just begun.
Yeah, I mean, I could think of a sequel. I mean, it's like Mega Man. I mean, you just bring other bad guys in there, and it's basically the same thing over again each year.
But that's not the sequel I would see. The sequel I would see is he's becoming the leader of the rebellion, and that was just the introduction. Now the TV system is down, and they get to go to the next system to put it down, so the society is trying to heal from their wounds.
You hear that, Lionsgate? Give this man a job.
Yes! Let's get The Rock instead of Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel?
I'm not a fan of either of those guys, actually.
I think Vin will do a great job.
Well, I don't want to see a Running Man 2 anyways. I think this one is... I wouldn't say perfectly fine the way it is, but it's a fine movie. Don't expect, you know, an Oscar performance for anyone, but Scrum blows up, and there's pretty cool shots, and yeah.
Yeah, well, lots of stuff blowing up. Well,
it's not a romantic comedy, though.
No, it's not. Yeah. Not quite. No. Well, not at all, actually. There are nice props as well. The dead bodies, well, the burnt one, they were pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, they do get some good stuff in there, but as you said, the dynamo car was ugly, and
well, not as ugly as the cop car chasing him at the airport.
Yeah, that's true. One point we didn't touch on as well is that during the TV show at the start, the introduction, they got this passive like dance performance of bikini clad 80s girl with like awesome
glitters all over.
Yeah, they got glitter all
awesome
over.
Awesome hair, man. Oh, the one with the ponytail on top of the head.
Yeah,
kind of lame.
Look for it, guys. She's got 10 inches of hair up there. It's pretty awesome.
I just cheated a bit here and I found July 12, 2009, a news that said that there's a Running Man sequel in the work for 2011. Of course, I didn't find anything else to follow it, but it was thought about.
You're just putting oil on this rumor, I mean.
I'm not sure I want to see that movie.
Well, didn't talk about it for more than a year now, so I really think it's quite dead in the egg.
Well, if we're lucky, they could do something like Tron that they're trying to do this year, which is like a sequel.
Oh, come on.
I don't think it's gonna be good. I said they could do it.
No, just we got Predator. I mean, they're doing right now. They needed the Batman and everything like that. There are more movies out there that are more interesting to remake than Running Man. And I mean, I really don't think it's that worthwhile to do. I mean, there are still interesting stories out there to get that could get made into movies that are, you know, more interesting than the remake of Running Man.
Yeah, you're right, but there's a
trend. Or even Predator or Tron, if you ask me. I mean,
yeah, that you're right, but that's a trend right now, like where they take an old movie and they do a sequel like 30 years later. You got Wall
Street.
Yeah,
because, you know, it's guaranteed revenue. I mean, it's trusted value and stuff like that. I mean,
the studios are not ready to take risks like they used to, except if your name is James Cameron, so...
Is he really taking any risk?
But they think they're taking a risk, but...
Do you really think Avatar is a risk?
From a studio point of view, you don't know if it's gonna work.
It's like Will Smith. I mean, the guy is just bankable. Anything he does.
Yeah, but you said yourself you don't watch the name of the filmmaker usually when you go see
him. I know his name.
But you know
when it's his movies, I know his name. For all other guys, I might not know. For him, I knew.
So, okay, here you go. Maybe he's a star
director.
When
I was a kid, I knew he was doing Terminator, and I knew he was doing Titanic. And I basically knew no other director at that point, I mean, and I knew him.
Okay, I think
I knew a few, you know, the big ones, but I didn't really pay any attention to them.
Okay, maybe you get a point there. That was not a big risk. Big as risk as they want.
So. Nah, I don't think it was a risk at all. They knew they were lending money with that job.
Yeah, they make quite a bunch of money anyway. I was reading an article where it's New Line that's trying to say that they lost money out of Lord of the Ring. That was pretty funny. That's why Peter Jackson had to sue to get his money. He didn't want to pay him.
Well, I didn't see the fine lines of that one, but who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they got screwed.
Maybe they got screwed. So, on Running Man, anything else you want to add, Beast?
Well, that pretty much covers everything. For the rest, you have to see yourself.
Yeah, well, as we said, it's worth to see. It's cheap. Go buy it. Go rent it. Rent it on cable or something. It's worth it.
Yeah, it passed quite a few times as well on cable TV.
Yeah, you might see it on cheap as well on cable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the good Arnold one. I think at that point it's still relevant and.
Yeah, well, for the time it was quite alright. It was not that much of a hit, but there was not much of sci-fi movies like that one.
So yeah, another good hit for Arnold. Thanks again for an awesome movie. And
let's wrap this up. So
yeah, take it away.
So it's been episode, we're at episode 5?
5, I think.
Yeah, so it's been episode 5 of Legends. And
if, not, if not, it's 5A, guys.
You guys just made like 5 and you lost the track of it?
Yeah, no, it's because we didn't publish them all. So we got the 2 Predator, which Predator 2 we did not publish because it's...
We're overworked.
Here we go.
Oh, that's
and
all right.
We got Commando,
so nice.
We got Spaceball.
This is your first one, so you don't know what it's like to do 5.
Yeah, for sure.
So
just drag the wheel.
Fair enough.
So it's been episode 5 of Legends, an action movie podcast. If you want to send us feedback, you can send us feedback at legends.podcast@outmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Legends Podcast. Legends Podcast. Legends with an S. Same thing for the email address. And please visit our sponsor, which is legendsactionfigure.com.
Do it!
Talk about your friends.
Come on, do it. Do it. Get to the chopper.
Do it now.
Do it now. And I'll be back. Get down.
Knock knock. Okay, so please go check the website of our sponsor, legendsactionfigure.com. You'll find great deals. They actually got Terminator 2 new line of action figure, a Commando animated statue, which is quite something to see all those years later.
Well, how did they do that?
I have no idea, but hey, someone says I can make a buck somewhere.
Yeah, I bet.
So go check that legendsactionfigure.com if you like the show. So,
So this is Frank, and I'm telling you guys goodbye, and we'll see you next time.
Well, I'm the Beast. It was my first, and it was a pleasure. So, well, hope to see you again.
And I'm John B. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week for Surprise Movie Cast.
We'll be back.
This has been Legends in Action Movie Podcast. We are your host Frank and John D. We remind you to visit legendsactionfigures.com. Please leave us a positive review on iTunes. See you next week for a new episode.
Legends in Action Movie Podcast is not affiliated with any other entity. The opinions stated in this podcast are strictly personal and do not represent the view of its sponsor or any other person or entity. No infringement is intended. Legends Podcast is a production of No Expert Productions.